IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio. You are listening to The Viewpoint. I'm Beta, the host of today's episode. And today with me, I have two dear guests, experts of today's episode. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Brother, and assalamu alaikum, brother Muhammad.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you very much for having me once again.
Yeah, it's a pleasure for me to have you here with me. So as you know, throughout our history, we had the Islamic Revolution, which was an important event, which had a special role in everybody's life, actually. So, one of the goals of this revolution was independence of identity, which in today's discussion, we're going to go through that topic. First of all, I want you to define this independency. What does that mean?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When we discuss about independence, we refer to this phenomenon of being not dictated by someone else, or as we say it in our day-to-day life, a big brother. You know, us being able to make decisions on our own, not depending on others, on them to decide what decisions we should make or not. This is the main reference point of independence.
Yeah.
And this is what most of the world right now lacks. And in different arenas, including in economics, in cultural arenas, in education even, for example, right now the world is, close to, let's say, more than only 4 or 5 education systems exist in the world that are kind of administering the 200 and something countries right now. So this is the lack of independence that countries have. So when we discuss about independence, when we talk about independence, we don't necessarily mean that each country as a national border, as a bordered geography, should make decisions without considering the other countries. No, it means that they should be able to make decisions without being enforced by others outside of their borders. This is the spirit of the meaning of independence.
Yeah. Thank you for your beautiful operation. And so, Brother Ali, you are
yeah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Actually, independence was one of the main motives of the Islamic revolution at the beginning of this revolution. And that was something that actually moved the people and provoked the people to support the movement that has been started by Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi. And it led to this revolution and this Islamic Republic that we are in now. And it has been taken from an Islamic rule and from an Islamic, actually, root. Because in Islam and in the culture that we have been learning from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, independence has been emphasized in different angles. Because it starts with the independence from everything except God. What does Tawheed or monotheism mean? This means that we are independent of anything except God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
So we are after this motto and we are after this movement. So independence means that we merely and only and solely and lonely depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing else. So this motto has been rooted in this Islamic teachings. And when we say that la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, it means independence. So we are not going to depend, for example, on the West or East, but we are trusting only God. Some say that in God we trust, but they are trusting in everything except God.
Their God is different, exactly. Rather, we should say.
The God is different. We have to say, yeah. But this is the meaning of independence. So in case we, for example, start relations or, with some Western or Eastern countries, it doesn't mean that we are independent on them. Mm-hmm. No, and we have not yet, for example, made ties with them to be with them forever, as far as they are going to provide us our rights, or let's say our or respect
fulfill
us.
Fulfill their oaths.
Consider the oaths that are between us. So it is the time that up to then we are going to be in touch with them and have our turns and be loyal to the ties that we have given already. So I wanted to say that independence means to be independent of anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning of independent. So it can actually have different dimensions, cultural, political, industrial. So for a Muslim, for a mu'min, is not accepted to be dependent on anyone else.
Thank you for your beautiful elaboration. But, you know, as you told me, there are different actually aspects of independence, like, I don't know, cultural, economical, and so on. Mm. And also, we cannot call every relation, for example, to other people and to other countries in vast, I don't know, areas, dependency or being dependent on them.
Sure.
I want you to actually create a line between being dependent on other countries in different relationship and staying independent despite the fact that you have relation between them. I mean, there should be a border between these two. And first, tell me your opinion about that. This border, actually, it exists or not. And the second question is that if it exists, what is this border?
Mm-hmm. Definitely, there is a border for us to show it. I mean, for example, there we are dependent or independent. As I said, we are not going to be depending on any power or any person or entity except God. So this is a deadline or red line for us. And we are actually measuring ourselves based on this definition. We see, for example, in case we are in a relation, let's say political, industrial, or I don't know, cultural relation with any country, or let's say cultural center, or I don't know, everywhere. As far as we see that they are not actually going to depend on themselves, so it is okay. That's okay, and we can continue. As far as we just sense that there is something coming to create a sort of dependency, that will be the end of our tolerance. I think this is somewhere that we have to cut. I mean, we have to try to cut everything. Look, I want to give some examples of the Islamic revolution for ourselves. You know, at the beginning of this revolution and the also the beginning of the imposed war by Iraq, many countries stopped to give us anything. I mean, it's almost more than four decades that we are under embargoes and sanctions. Not ordinary ones, based on the some analysis that I've read from some American colonists. They said that if this pressure came to even America, the United States itself, it could be enough to ruin the whole country. This is what they confess. I mean, one of the columnists of one of their famous magazines had been written some year before. And again, another analyst said that this pressure could be enough to ruin 13 countries at the same time. I mean, the kind of pressures that they have imposed on Iran in the last four decades.
Yeah.
So all in all, I want to say that even they prevented to even sell barbed wire to us sometime in the past. But now we see that based on this culture that we are taking it from Islamic culture, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "In tansurullah yansurkum." If you help Allah, Allah will help you.
Yeah, exactly.
If for the sake of helping Allah, you just try to be independent and you trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will compensate for you. And we have experienced it. And we have seen that we didn't have even the barbed wire which is needed for the fronts that we had, which was needed for the fronts that we had with Iraq. So now we are, alhamdulillah, actually have a say in different, let's say, branches of science. Let's say in cyberspace, in nanotechnology. These are the modern and, let's say, up-to-date sciences that humanities and, let's say, the different countries are in search of. And even the knowledge of sending satellites to the to this space, and these are the things that we have been, alhamdulillah, successful. But we see that the countries that they never experienced any embargoes and sanctions are not even at the beginning of starting such knowledges or sciences in their own countries.
Yeah, exactly.
So it means that Allah's promise is really valid, and we have to trust it.
At times
we did not actually trust these Allah's promises. We were lagging behind, and we have seen it. At times that we trusted, for example, in some European countries to give us something instead of something else, so we have seen the results. What happened? They give us nothing.
Yeah.
You see? So I think we should have this Quranic verse in our mind and in front of our eyes every time, that إِن تَنْصَرُ اللَّهِ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيَثَبِّتَ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. If we help Allah, Allah will help us. So this brings actually independence for us. This independence, as I said again, I want to repeat it, independence from everything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
So it enlarges our powers. It actually strengthens our powers and our abilities and capabilities.
Thank you for your examples of being independent after the revolution, Islamic revolution of Iran, which I think we can see a lot of these signs of being independent from other countries, and even after a lot of pressure. But the thing is, I think independence costs a lot. You know,
definitely.
The price of independence is,
you know why?
Is so high.
Do you know why it costs a lot?
Also, if you want the reason, and also
want, simply,
the cost.
Very simple example. If you want to be the head of a tribe,
yeah.
So you have to pay too much because you need
of course.
Even to entertain those who are come to visit you, right? I don't want to going to meet the head of the region. No, scientifically, yes, this is our goal. We want to be the first and top country in the levels of knowledge and science, right?
Of course.
But if you want to be the big person in your tribe, you have to pay even for those who come to you to visit you, to entertain them and to have to provide them with facilities, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, mm-hmm. Brother Muhammad, what do you think about this matter of the cost of independence?
Let's look at the history, rather, to understand the cost that we have to give. I'm looking at independence in a more abstract, not necessarily the specific to the independence of the Islamic Revolution, though that's, I think, the most idealistic independence that we can find in the world. But consider the independence that we had from the colonial rule of the British and the other European warheads. Look in South America, for example. Caribbean was mainly ruled by the British, but what cost did they have to give for them to be independent from the British? Now, when I mean ruled, meaning that everything from culture, education, economy, to their even lives, because they were considered slaves over there. Look at India, for example, or South Africa. People like Mahatma Gandhi and Nelson Mandela had to take a great step, be imprisoned, whipped, even penalized, sometimes by their own people, in some situations, just so that they can find this independence, or rather, I should say, relative independence from the people who are making their decisions. Like I mentioned, the first thing that comes to my mind when I talk about independence in relation when it's opposite of freedom is you making your own decisions. Now, countries who have gone through this are able to make decisions at least relatively better. But still, if you look at the different dimensions of the society, their societies, for example, let's say India, right? Now, where does this education system in India come from? Is it independent? Do they make their own decisions? No.
No, of course
unfortunately.
Not.
Unfortunately. But what about, for example, their economy? Again, more than 50% of the world's economy is dependent on the US dollars. Why? Why is that so? Whenever there is recession, the global recession, it has to come back to the US dollars. Why does every country have to make transactions based on US dollars? That's economic independence.
Yeah.
So when the U.S. is deteriorating when it comes to their economy, the entire world has to face that same deterioration.
So thank you, Dr. Experis, of today's episode for being here with me. It was all the time we have for today's episode. Thank you, dear listeners. I bid you farewell, and I leave you in the warm embrace of God. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept Allah. يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها.